Welcome to Shenanigans. Hey, hey, it's Aisha.
Hey, it's Jenny.
Yo, baby, what's up? It's Tyra.
And we are a dose of melanin empowerment that is a reminder of how bomb you are and how dope you can be. Featuring edutainment about beauty, life, and health, mixed with a true depiction of how strong she can be. Welcome to the podcast. Yo, what up?
Hi.
We told y'all we was coming back.
We back, baby.
Back.
What it do, baby?
Run it back. That's not what it was. And then that. What's the song?
Bring it back.
Yes. Thanks.
Welcome. Come on in. Come on in. Into the room.
To Shenanigans.
We back with another episode.
After giving y'all one last week, we promise we'll never do this again. This is a treat.
If you've been rocking with us for a while, we used to do this. And we ain't about that life no more.
We're not. We've learned to pick our battles, and this was not one of them.
Yeah, yes. You can only do what you can.
Do what you can.
Quality over quantity.
Yes. You know, we want y'all to come back.
Right.
And join us.
Right.
And we've learned that the less episodes we deliver, the better.
But the content be fresh. It be rich.
Fresh and rich and engaging. Y'all be hitting us up.
It be authentic and real rap raw.
Yeah.
So... All right. Well, last week we talked about being black.
Blackity black.
I'm black, y'all. Jenny, you have redeemed yourself after not knowing Roddy Ricch. So,
First of all, that's different.
That is different.
You don't know that? Oh, sister.
What's that?
That's different. Like, this song is new.
Which is what? Why you should know it?
It's like
the number one song.
I mean, I heard it. I mean, it's a good song. What? I said it's a good
song.
First
of all, she's about to say, it's okay.
I wasn't.
How she know? She ain't heard it.
She just said, I heard it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I listened to it.
And I thought she said, it was okay.
I like it.
It's all right.
It's all right.
That's what she wants to say.
But she don't want y'all dragging her through these streets.
Basically. So.
I'm going to tell my bread.
Oh.
No, don't do that.
It's okay.
You have a right to speak your opinion, even if it is different from ours, Jennifer.
I understand.
We don't judge. We judge, but we don't really judge. I don't even know if that makes sense, but y'all know what I'm saying.
You gonna bring Yenny or Jenny today, because
she been real Yennefer.
Yennefer.
No, I don't know. It's just
Yennessy. Yenny and lemonade. Well, I just want y'all to meet her for the one time. Like, just hold tight. Y'all gonna have a chance. Y'all gotta meet Yennefer like this year.
Yeah, she'll pop out.
She'll pop out.
Because she definitely was just popping out and popping off.
All the way till we hit record.
No. Well, yes, but that wasn't. Okay. What's the.
So. You know, icebreaker for the week. It's real simple. What's your favorite Disney character?
Oh my goodness. Well, I just had this in mind. I don't know its name, but it's the I really like the movie The Emperor's New Groove.
Mm-hmm.
I like that movie a lot.
The main character.
The Emperor.
No. Wait.
Well, yeah, the one that turns into a
yes.
The club dude.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know his name.
I'm not going to say what that reminds me of anyway. Okay.
Mine's Cruella.
Of course it is.
Mm-hmm. She got money. Oh. She wears furs and
from
shit.
Puppies? The fuck? Call PETA.
Fuck them dogs.
Really?
Fuck them dogs.
Fuck the dogs.
Fuck them dogs.
Fuck the dogs.
Fuck them dogs.
Oh.
They be all right. I love puppies. I love dogs. But I feel her. Cruella, bad bitch. Cruella is a bad bitch.
She's wearing dog.
She's wearing bad bitches. She's wearing bad bitches.
Oh my goodness.
Y'all are judging.
Oh, we're not. You just said we judge, but we don't judge.
Don't come judge. For me. I'm double downing on Cruella. I'm double downing on Cruella.
I like Lord Farquaad.
You would.
From Shrek. Yo, you would. He's funny as hell.
He got a Napoleon complex because he's small.
He's small, but he be like, look in the mirror and tell me how fine I am. Tell me I can have any woman I can. Everybody around him be like, yeah, you can have whatever you want. They tell him all the shit he wants.
Yeah, of course they do. So they ass don't get in trouble.
Exactly. That's how I like people around me to operate.
Yes, you do. And...
Listen.
Look. What Jenny said, I don't want no smoke.
I don't want none.
So Jenny gonna tell you, yep, you look good. You can have whatever you want. She don't want no smoke.
Look, tell me what I need to hear.
Bloop.
And on that note, our fellow shenanigans friends, we gotta give our listeners like a name, like a group. I don't know. It'll come to me.
Yeah. Maybe we'll ask y'all on Twitter.
Yeah.
We'll ask y'all someplace.
Yeah, what they want to be called.
Yeah.
But.
Because all I got right now is Shenanay's.
Well, it was our sister friends, right?
But we got brother friends, too.
I know.
We can sister friends and brother friends for now.
That's so long.
Can we just, like, have one name?
After you just suggested.
No.
Oh, you were saying what we used to.
Was that? Okay. That was, well, to be the
friends.
Thing.
Tell us what your favorite Disney characters are. They can be villains. Don't feel bad if your favorite character, because you know Ursula was a close second for mine. I like all the villains. So let us know what your favorite characters are. Y'all already know where to hit us up. But if it's your first time listening, you can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram under the same name, @shenanigans_pod. And this week... y'all are getting really spoiled because we have another guest.
Yes.
We do. If you didn't know, the strength of she, which is who we operate under, we are doing a campaign called Black and Woman, you know, just celebrating our blackness during Black History Month in February, highlighting our womanhood, mm-hmm. talking about our struggles being black and women, you know. So this week we're going to talk to one of our favorite friends about, you know, just the whole her whole black woman experience.
Yeah. We've loved Joy for a long time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she used to always come to our events. She did like some interviews for us when she was when she had like her own platforms. And yeah, so we just wanted to have her on the show, A, because she's hilarious. She comes with unique perspectives, especially as you'll hear through her story. But yeah, let's jump right into it.
Sounds good.
Hello.
Joy.
Hey.
Joy.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
We miss you.
Thank you. Real quick. Just what y'all was doing at 24, so I know I'm doing it right.
What
she was doing at 24.
What was I doing at... Oh, shit. You know, that was a long ass time 24. Ago.
You don't want to know what I was doing at 24.
Y'all are never that old, please.
Girl, I'm about to be 30.
At 24, I was getting...
So you remember 24?
I was getting married at 24. 24. Don't do that.
Okay, noted.
Don't do that. Wait a few years on that shit.
Okay.
I broke up with somebody the week after my 24th birthday, so... And then I started a new job.
Started a new job?
I did. And I started another job. Mm-hmm. I don't remember 24.
Trying to get used to getting paychecks.
Okay. Real money.
I was single making money or getting married.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really didn't get it right until I was like 28, and then it started clicking for me.
All right, well, next subject, I don't
want to
hear
that. But be better than me, though.
Be better than
be
us.
Better.
This is the moral of the story.
Yes, be better than
no,
me.
No, you know what? The moral of the story is, at 24, do not feel like you're behind.
Yes.
Right.
Because okay. So many young women, like, entering that mid-20s phase
always feel behind, and you're not. Like, yes. You have so much time to do shit and to get shit mm-hmm. right, like, more than you realize. So don't feel behind
at all, because even at 30 I still feel like I got a lot of time, because I
hell
do.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't feel behind. Your track is your track, and your story is your story.
Tell them.
And that's that.
I like it. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Well, Joy, we are doing some special episodes for Shenanigans these next upcoming weeks. We're having some guests. You know, we do not have guests often. But we have always wanted to have you on the show because we're like, Joy is hilarious, first of all. And we love her. And so we wanted to have you on the show as we talk about one of our campaign topics. And so we just launched, if you saw some of our new gorgeous photos that came out last week, launched our Black and Woman campaign. So it's all about being Black and being a woman and all the intersectionality, and sexuality, all the above, in between. So we just wanted to chat it up with you today, and Tyra's gonna kind of lead into our topic.
All right, so what'd you say?
I told you I need a shirt because my shirt is dingy and ratchet.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. All right, sis.
It has been a few years.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it looks like I've been real booked and real.
Hilarious.
So what has been some of your challenges being a Black woman, and how did you face them?
For me, one of my main challenges with being a Black woman is was getting comfortable with the idea that I'm a Black woman.
Yeah.
I have always I've always been raised around Black women. I know it's the only Black woman in my family. But I've always seen the same kind of Black woman, and I knew that I didn't want to be one of those. So I had to create my new image for what type of Black lady I want to be when I grow up.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a whole bunch of church ladies, single women, and I'm like, that's cool, and y'all look very responsible in that sense, but I don't want that for myself. So me being able to create what a Black woman looks like to me is not necessarily a beautician with a shop, or a single mom, or the lady that can pick up their kids and go do everything at the same time. Like, I knew that the type of Black lady I wanted to be, I never seen before.
I like that. I like that. So Malcolm X said that the most disrespected person in America is a Black woman, the most unprotected person in America is a Black woman, and the most neglected person in America is a Black woman. Do you agree?
I would have to say it's kind of, but more so Black girls before
yeah.
Black women.
Okay.
I think that Black girls are not protected enough. Black girls aren't really listened to. Black girls are told how to be. So by the time you become a Black woman, you are kind of used to not being protected. Kind of what you expect at that point.
That's good. I definitely agree.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, especially with, I don't know if it's just because we have social media, but you start to see more and more of us just disappearing. Mm-hmm. Like, where are we going?
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't get any media coverage about us, you know, especially with kids and all of that. So I definitely agree with that.
And you would just think that it would be so much more. Like, I just remember in high school, just the Coney 20 foot, like, that being such a thing. I just was talking about that the other day. And just, we really be advocating about people everywhere, and it's so many girls. It's just Gary alone, like, in our backyard.
Yeah.
Are missing. You post, you share, you know, missing once or twice, and then that's just it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it's so weird to me how we aren't regarded as, like, let's find them. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's another Black girl missing. And it just seems, like I said, this starts off as when you're a girl. So by the time you become a Black woman, it's like you're kind of desensitized to so much stuff about yourself. You're used to
that treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even on the flip side of that, talking about being unprotected, like having our identity be unprotected too. Like, I know we talked a little bit last week about how representation, like the representation we have today, is so much better than it was when we were younger. But now I think we're flooded with so much that you almost like what Joy was just talking about, not really seeing yourself in every woman you're seeing. So then how do I identify myself as a Black woman when I have so many different ways that it's being shown that I should be, and maybe I don't fit in that. So, you know, where do I fit still, even with having representation now?
Yeah, like, I never really saw me growing up. Like, I always was, you know, they used to have, like, the ghetto test. Like, I had to learn slang and stuff. Like, I didn't feel Black enough. So, being a Black woman was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm a Black woman, but I'm not as, quote-unquote, sassy as I should be, or I can't really fight, so I don't know if I'm really a Black woman enough to be able to step out like this. The things that I've always regarded, what other people have regarded being Black woman stuff, is just like not nothing I ever really wanted for me. So it's cool now seeing so many different types of people. Like, Insecure was probably the first time I saw myself on TV. Like,
wow.
And she's like me. Like, Raven was cool, but she could dress and I can't.
That's what I was gonna say. What made you feel like, or you know, what were some of the things that made you feel like you couldn't really identify with anybody?
Well, I always was a masculine girl. I've always been more tomboyish. That was never nothing on TV, and then when it was like a full AG stud, and it's like, you know, I don't think I'm all of that.
Yeah.
I know that I ain't in the poo-poo. So, that was different, like figuring out how I am with it as myself. And me personally, I always have struggled with body image because my family is just a bigger family.
Yeah.
So I have never had to love a skinny woman in my life. And I am not thick by any means. So having to accept my body and love my body as a Black woman that's petite and short, when I got a family full of BBWs, I was looking forward to my Dawkins booty and my Dawkins tits.
Yeah.
I never got it. So now what do I do with this body? Am I still Black woman enough because I ain't got a full C? Like, it just, it always is different because the type of woman that I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I had to make it. And it's happened more and more as I got older. And, you know, that kind of goes into, like, the community that I built for myself, my support system of, okay, I know I don't have anybody that I see is the woman that I want to be, but I like how she does it. And I love how she dresses. And she's very nice to her husband. And she's a great mom. So I would like to take different pieces, and I'm building my community with the women that I want to be.
So with you, like, building your community and your support system, do you feel like you just recently start doing that, or was that something that you've done, like, over the years as you grew into who you felt like you are as a Black woman?
Well, you know, as far as, like, the intersectionality of it all, my first identity that I realized I needed to find a home in was in me being queer. So I started off making my community on people that could support me in that, because I came from a super religious family. So I started building my community early, but it wasn't as far as building the woman that I wanted to be, being comfortable in the woman that I think I am right now.
And how was that journey for you? I know you shared your, like, your coming out story before on, like, Facebook and stuff like that, but would you mind sharing a bit of what that journey was like for you too?
Well, I just came from a really super religious family. Super, super religious family. We had the only Christian bookstore in the city. Like, She told everybody Sunday school, church robes and ties and envelopes, right? We was Jesus folks. And she's like, okay, now, Jesus don't really like the game, so what do I say? And I always knew early on that I was attracted to women, so I didn't know how to express that. Mm-hmm. And my mom always had a cool relationship, but I was the type of kid that would, like, stand outside the door and, like, prep myself for, like, 20 minutes before I asked to go outside because I'm just nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, prep myself to come out to my mama for, like, years. So it just didn't work. And when I did, it was terrible. It was so terrible. She couldn't take it. And it was more... I was dragged to a lot of churches. And a lot of holy orders put on me. And a lot of pastors were putting their hands on my forehead and sending me back. It was a lot. So that kind of broke my trust in my family because y'all, I can't talk to y'all. Last time I did, y'all put me in deliverance boot camp. So how can I even tell you that I don't feel comfortable with my body? I can't even tell y'all what I like. How can I tell you what I don't like if I can't tell you what I do like?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot for me. That's a big reason why I don't even live there, because I want to have the comfortable, like the room to be able to build myself and not be stuck in something. You know, if I do this and then I don't tomorrow, well, I thought you was a lesbian. Well, no, I never said that. I just like boxers, but niggas are cute too. Because they don't understand what I'm doing, I cannot coach you all as I'm figuring it out myself too.
How do you manage, because you have like all of these ways that you can be discriminated against, being black, being a woman, and then adding this queer part to it. So how do you remain confident knowing that you have all of these, you know, things that can be negative coming your way?
Just building my confidence on what I do know. I'm so confident on I don't know so much shit, it helps. I know that I don't know shit. I know it. So you can't make me feel bad about it, and you can't twist my head around about it, because I know. You know, say, you know, a person that knows they don't know nothing is the smartest one in the room. Like, with me understanding that about myself, you can't make me feel bad, because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing either. So who are you to try to figure it out for me?
Yeah. What does vulnerability mean to you? And what does that look like in your life?
I think that exact thing. I think vulnerability means knowing that I don't know what's happening and being okay with that. I have messed up a lot of stuff trying to figure out something when it's not nothing to figure out. A lot of stuff just comes from experience. And me trying to figure out what's going on has fucked me up. So me understanding that I'm fresh. I'm impressionable still. I don't know what is happening, but I'm figuring it out.
That's good.
What about y'all?
I think for me, vulnerability has to deal with me being honest with myself and being transparent in what it is that I'm feeling or I'm going through, and then being comfortable enough to say how I'm feeling, you know, having that honesty about my emotions. And like she said, what I do know and what I don't know with people around me.
Yeah.
I feel like for me, vulnerability, or what it means to me, has kind of changed within the last year. And it changed because I kind of learned, or I accepted this concept of owning whatever it is that I'm doing, and owning my mistakes and owning my feelings and owning whatever, like, I was putting out.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it allowed me to kind of go look inward on a lot of things, and just being, like I was saying, honest with yourself, and really building that relationship with who you are and just being confident in all, like, all of your flaws and, you know, all the things that you appreciate and don't appreciate about yourself.
Yeah. For me, like I talk about all the time, I think I used to have like those same, I used to have to build myself up before I talk to my parents a lot too. I talked about on many other episodes. So especially to have just general conversations, because we weren't a huge personal feels talking family. You know, you keep your business to yourself and you don't share with others. And that's a lot of who I am now, is sharing things that I go through and, you know, personal stories. So for me, like, that's my ultimate way of showing my vulnerability, is not keeping those experiences to myself to help other people. So,
because it's like a relief when you do it.
Yeah.
It's so hard trying to hold all that stuff in that you're thinking and that you're feeling. And
yeah.
The whole, I'm trying to be strong and I'm trying to be strong for everybody.
Right, or, right.
You know, I think sometimes there's a lot of negative connotation to being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And so people don't want to, you know, put their guard down. But it's such a relief when you actually do it and you feel confident enough to do it.
I think with
and
that,
you'd be
like,
amazed how many people are doing it too. Like,
right.
That's the part about vulnerability that I love. Is like, as soon as you open up your mouth about, like, yo, this, I don't like this, and it kind of even hurts me, but I really don't tell nobody this. Like, as soon as you say it, three other people are looking at you like, girl, I've been hurt too. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's so nice to just realize, like, the world has been around way before you got here.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing that you really going through that nobody else has ever been through. So once you vocalize it, I just was saying, I want to learn more words just so that I can articulate myself better. Because I know what I want to say. I can't really say it. But if you just say it, say what you know a little bit, somebody else can finish that sentence because they've been through that same thing.
Right.
I don't know. They looking at me. You can't see them look at me, but they looking at me.
And I'm like, I'm trying to use the phone. Can't hear my light asleep.
What?
Yo, what?
My light is asleep. Make it sound like a little
Wayne mixtape. Hey, that's hilarious.
So, speaking of vulnerability, do you ever have times where you just feel like, you know, you're strong all the time, and then do you ever get tired of just being strong all the time?
Yes, so much. So much. I make a big deal out of being responsible. I think it's like me overcompensating for being short, maybe, and I want to feel like I'm the tall person in the room, but I got to get everything under control. But I always am trying to make sure everything is set. I make a big deal out of living by myself, too. So it's like, if I mess up, I'm on the streets.
Yeah.
I make sure that everything is right. So I feel confident because I've been on my own for some time. I moved out of my mama's house and I was like 21 for 20. And I've been in Indianapolis away from my family for the last 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, you're doing your thing, girl. But then in the back, I'm like, okay, but I really don't know if I got enough PTO to just have a mental health day to myself. And that would be really nice if I could afford it, but I don't think that I can. And that right there is just like the big scale. Like, okay, what about me and responsibility can I like shift to still be comfortable, because I am my own teammate a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have nobody else there to check me and say, chill, sis. So I have to make sure that I'm that voice in my head to say, like, you got it. You can relax. And relaxing doesn't have to be taking a month off of work or nothing like that. But relaxing can be, okay, I'm not going to pick up my phone for the next 12 hours. And that'll be just what I need to get myself recharged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Felt.
Yeah.
Recharged.
I think we all, we try to do that in different ways. I got tapped a few times last week about not recharging properly and not taking time for myself. I still haven't since those conversations. I did a little bit, but to your point, like, it can be hard, especially if you feel like you just have a lot of responsibilities and, you know, your to-do list extra long. And people say, it'll be there the next day. Like, I hate when people tell me that. Like, that actually makes my anxiety worse. I know it'll be there the next day, and so will 500 other things that are due tomorrow. Like, that's right. Why I need to do it today. So I completely feel you on that. Like, it's really hard to kind of check out.
I'm getting better at it, at being able to see when I need to chill. Because, like, when I first started, oh, my God, I thought I could do everything. Like, when I first moved out here by myself, I'm like, I'm going to be a full-time student, and I'm going to work two jobs, and I'm going to pick up skates, because everybody in that loves skates. Okay, I was doing it good at
first. Oh, my God.
Like, let's keep on doing stuff. Let's do it. And it was like, yo, I started breaking out. And then I was losing weight, and I'm like, I already said I ain't too big to begin with. So losing weight really was like, all right, Joy, what's happening? And then, like I said, I found new, different ways to recharge. I don't have to put my phone down all the time, or maybe I can just walk around or something. But or read a book, like, check out, listen to one of y'all podcasts. Like, I found different ways to recharge where it doesn't feel like such a task, because taking time out for yourself shouldn't feel like a task.
Seem
to be like another item on my to-do list.
And sometimes it really has to be, though. Like, it shouldn't feel like that, but sometimes in order for you to really do it, you have to schedule that time, especially if you're spread thin. You know, Aisha, mama, she works, she do she been like this for as long as I've known her. Before she was married and before she had a kid, she been like this forever. So sometimes you, like, people who don't know how to stop doing it, some people, especially Black women, because we're everything to everybody, we don't know how to stop being everything to everybody. So sometimes you really do have to intentionally schedule it and make it just another thing that you have to do before you fall apart.
For real. I literally put meditation on my to-do list, journal on my to-do list, or, you know, because there's plenty of nights where it's on my to-do list and I skip it. So I have to.
I know this may be easier said than done, but I've gotten to a point where it's, I would put, you know, me time or certain stuff for myself on my to-do list. And like Aisha said, like, I would, like, skip over it all the time. And one thing that I had told myself or made a promise to myself is that, you know, this would be the first thing on my to-do list if I have to, you know, have, like, if I am putting it on my list so I can make sure that I get it done. Because if I don't have that time, then I'm not able to invest or do other things that I need to get done.
Yeah,
it's so hard.
It's real hard.
And then I look at, like, my burnout work. Like, I would much rather relax and then do it, because burnout work is just half-assed.
It's trash. I know. I'm like, waited. Right? I'm like, y'all thought that was good? Shit, let me get a full 8 hours of sleep and see what I can do.
For real.
How do you feel like we can change the narrative of being strong and or angry Black women? Because that's something we hear a lot. trying to shift out of that narrative. What are some things that we can do to help that or change that?
Well, me, words have really helped. Just understanding that words mean things, and it is a lot of the words that I use and even us as Black women use are customary to our culture. So a lot of times they can be misconstrued by somebody that's not part of our culture. Example at work, I got in trouble for saying something. I was like, you don't want to see nobody regular kids. And I got in very much trouble. Like, oh no, my kids are not dirty. They were off top the guy. I said, they never be dirty. I'm like, whoa, that's what raggedy means? Raggedy just means like, ew. Like, it just, whoa, I was not, I'm so sorry, ma'am. I do not mean to offend you. Let me use better words. I don't want to see children. Not know children. If that works, like, I don't know how to explain it, but like, using better words, because I like to, I know what I mean, and I want you to know what I mean. So let me find the right words so you can get it. Because volume control is not something I really have, and I'm passionate when I speak. And I don't want you to think that I'm yelling at you because I'm passionate.
Yeah.
So let me use the right word to explain to you what I'm saying. Because I couldn't believe that she thought I called her raggedy. Because I feel raggedy.
Jordan called the kids raggedy.
Raggedy.
It was the whole thing. I got rolled up.
Oh, no.
You don't know who could be offended by calling them dirty, calling your kids dirty. And I'm like, okay. Well, words mean things.
Oh, shit.
Better word choice.
Yes, words definitely mean things. My last question for you is, what is your favorite thing about being a Black woman?
I love that we have done so much, and it's so weird that I'm just now finding out about so much thanks to the internet. Shout out to Google and everything else on the internet. But it's just so much of our history that has been lost. That it's amazing how much Black women have contributed to so much of society. And it's just so much covered up that you don't even know. It's like we're like the playmakers. And I love that. So you don't got to know that we did it, but we did.
Mm-hmm.
We're behind every strong movement. Everything that was amazing in this country, we had our hands in.
That's true.
Yeah. And we made the flag, goddammit. We cold.
We are. We truly are. Well, thank you for talking with us. I wish we could talk.
Thank you so much.
Joy, what are you up to these days?
More of figuring the fuck out of what I'm doing. I plan on moving out of Indianapolis. Because me being out here was just an experiment to see if I could take care of myself. And I think I did well. Baby got blessing. I just went home, man. And I did what I was supposed to do here, I think. And now I want to figure out the next thing. I'm good at so much stuff, and I just want to figure out which stuff I want to stick to forever.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's the fun of it all. Like, that's the best part of growing up, is finding out what you like. There's so much stuff I don't know that I like and don't know till you figure it. So, it's just exciting. That's all I can say. It's exciting not knowing what the fuck is going on. Because it just seems so much possibility, so much room for amazing things to happen. So, I'm just waiting for amazing stuff to happen now.
Keep that, because some people are so scared with new things. Mm-hmm. But keep that energy for real with you, because you'll go far.
And with uncertainty.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, people are so scared about, I don't know what's next, and you're embracing it.
Yeah.
And that's going to set you apart from so many people out here.
Well, thanks, guys.
You're
welcome. I love you, Aisha. I love you, Jen. And I love you, Tyler.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye. Talk to you soon.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
All right, now it's time for our segments. We're going to kick this off with the Be Well segment.
Yes.
Where we're going to inhale the good shit and exhale the bullshit. And this week we're going to talk about how Black women can take better care of themselves. So do y'all think y'all do a good job of taking care of yourselves?
No.
Hell to the no.
And how do y'all know?
Hell to the no.
Break out a song then, shawty. last week my therapist literally told me, she was like, you know, you don't look like yourself today. You don't seem like yourself. Your energy feels like off. And so I'm like telling her about my week. And I'm like, yeah, I had like 5 hours of sleep every day this week. And I just had this and this and this going on. She's like, oh, okay, like, I just want you to understand that if you do a few more days like you're at right now, I promise you, you're going to be in the hospital from exhaustion. She's like, that's why you look like this today, because you're exhausted. And I was like, yeah, I'm like thoroughly aware, but I have a lot of shit to do, so I don't know what you want me to do. And so, yeah, I'm still trying to like
reel it back in, get yourself together,
get myself together,
figure out
all the things. Like, I tweeted the other night, like, the thing for last week was ask for help. Because I don't, not that I don't feel like I have people to ask help from.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like the things I can ask for help with are not many. Mm-hmm. And they're minute compared to the list that I have that's specifically for me. And so it can be hard for me to identify like what I can really ask for help with and what I can't.
I get it. What about you, Jin Jin?
Did you ask, like, how do we know when we are not taking care of mm-hmm. ourselves? Mm-hmm. Well, since it's something that I feel so often, I've come to be really comfortable with the feeling. But for me, it would be when I just feel really, really, like, overwhelmed. Or mm-hmm. I feel like time is just, like, going by and I can't, like, get a grasp or hold of it. Mm-hmm. And so I have to, like, when I feel like, okay, I have to, like, slow myself down, that's when I feel like I'm not really taking care of myself, because I'm just kind of, like, going, and I'm not doing things that are, you know, just the basic minimum things that you should be doing to kind of, like, take, you know, taking care of yourself. So oftentimes I have to make sure that I'm, you know, like, sticking to my to-do list and, like, slowing myself down so I can kind of see the bigger picture and not just kind of be in the moment and going.
Okay, so I'm about to give y'all some tips on how to take better care of yourself. You know, my fellow black women, because like I said, we are always everything to everybody and sometimes nothing to ourselves. So we gonna do better in 2020, you know, because like we always say, you cannot pour from an empty cup. So the first thing that you have to do is be honest with yourself on how you feel. And it doesn't have to be like a big declaration to the world, but if you are not okay, just tell yourself, I am not okay right now.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to be honest. I think, you know, we have push through that feeling of I'm not well right now, but I gotta get this done. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that, you know, with social media and all of that and all these different platforms for black women telling us it's okay to not be okay, and we need those reminders, you know, that, you know, you just need to be honest with how you're feeling at the time. The second thing you can do is listen to your body. So if your body tells you that you need more nutrition, that you, or better nutrition, you know, because I can always tell, and I'm sure y'all do too, because y'all eat way better than me, but we had like a salad bar at work one day, and I was like, oh my god, I just ate my salad, I don't have the itis, I feel energetic for the second half of my day. I felt good, versus I'll be ready for a nap, you know, after I eat my big hearty pasta is usually probably what I have.
Oh boy,
it'd be so good though, but I just could tell a difference depending on how I eat. If you need hydration, water, my body tells me with headaches, and we talked about that before, I just don't feel good when I don't drink enough water. So listen to your body just in general. And the third one kind of goes in the second one, and I'm always look to Aisha when I say this, but get enough sleep. People, you need your rest, not just like rest of like sitting down and not doing anything, because like you need that sleep. But actual quality REM sleep, quality sleep. I sometimes I take Benadryl to go to sleep, because I will just stay up, I'll just keep staying up. So in order for me to get adequate sleep, especially on nights that I have to work, I just have to take a Benadryl, call it a day. Do melatonin, do what you need, put your phone on do not disturb, drink some sleepy time tea.
I'll do all of that.
You need to do hypnosis or something.
And I still go to bed at 1:30, 2 o'clock every day.
I don't know.
I'm about to again tonight.
Sleep.
So I'm in a space where it's like I feel like I'm not taking care of myself properly, and I've like, you know, these past 2 months, I really told myself I wanted to be really intentional with my time and my energy this year, and really focus on the things that are most important to me, as well as being able to do all the things I need to get done. So one thing that I feel like I'm kind of stuck in between of like, how do I get these things done, but also take care of myself? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm at a part where it's like, okay, well, maybe I just am dealing with too much. Mm-hmm. And but it's like, well, what if you feel like everything that it is that you have to do, you want to do and you need to do it? So it's just like, how do you get it done? You know, like, is there a such thing of having too much on your plate when these things are what you consider important to you? And I don't.
Yeah, I think for me, I had to be more realistic about what I can personally get done in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And not so much to give myself anxiety like how Aisha had talked about, you know, and she had previously talked about, you know, having anxiety with your to-do list and all of that. And, you know, saying I'll put it off to the next day and that just makes her more anxious. Mm-hmm. But I do have to, like, refigure out, because I will plan out stuff and it don't ever pan out how I want it to, and then I get anxious about that.
Yeah.
So just kind of like replanning, okay, what can I fit here? Mm-hmm. What can I, it has a lot to do with prioritization and organization, mm-hmm. as far as like what it is that you need to get done.
Yeah.
And then really figure out what it is that you cannot do, which is one of my other points, which is set boundaries. Especially for people, mm-hmm. I think we take care of our other family members and, yeah. you know, if you have kids and your partners and your friends and all of that, you know, I have friends who, one of my friends is really good about asking, I have something very heavy to talk about. Are you in a mental space
to listen to this?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do it regularly. That's a good way to set a boundary, or even mm-hmm. on the opposite end to say, you know, I am here for you right now. I can't take that on. Can we talk about this a different time? Because I'm not in a space to take that on right now.
Yeah.
Because people don't. People will just
start downing on you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I didn't even have energy to give to that. And
yes.
You depleted me even more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it is so hard to say no, because especially women our age, we are stuck in this middle space of having to be things for our parents and mm-hmm. taking care of them and all that they got going on and their drama and their, you know, their struggles. And then if you have kids, you got to do that. And then if you got a man, he probably needs some too. And you know what I mean? So you have to literally let your nose be no. And sometimes it's painful, mm-hmm. but the more that you keep doing it,
yeah.
the less they will eventually stop asking for these things. It's hard, but it's like, okay, what would they do if I was not here?
Yeah.
I ask people, what would your family do if you weren't here?
Yeah.
To do, you know what I'm saying? Like, they have to figure it out. You don't want them high and dry, but you literally, like, you can't, because you're gonna break yourself.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, last week was just a rough week. And by the time Keisha called me on Friday, she was like, you don't look like yourself. What's wrong with you? And I was like, it's just a lot. Like, I didn't even want to look at her mm-hmm. in the phone. She was FaceTiming me. I'm like, I didn't even want to look at her. And she's like, you look like you're 2 seconds from a breakdown. And I said, honestly, I don't want anyone else for the rest of the day to ask me for shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how I felt all day. Like, and all weekend. I'm like, I don't want anyone to need anything from me right now, like, because I just don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my very last point is solidify your support system.
Yeah.
Think about who you can go to for, you know, whatever is going on with you. You have certain friends for certain things mm-hmm. or certain family members for certain things. So think about who you can go to help build you up. And then if you feel like you don't have any of those people, then you kind of have to kind of, you know, reconfigure.
So like, how have you all managed relationships that don't necessarily contribute what you contribute to the relationship? And wanting a relationship, but at the same time, the fact that this person isn't contributing anything and you feel like you're constantly pouring out, like, how do you manage that relationship?
What would the person be getting out of it by doing so much? Like, what would that person be gaining by just pouring
the person
into that
that's
other
pouring
person?
Out? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just being a support for this person. Because you love this person
mm-hmm.
or, you know, you love mm-hmm. these people. So it's like, you know,
I mean, I think, you know, you get to a point where it becomes too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, that's been a theme that's recently come up for me. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't want to be somebody who others feel like they can't come to. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes even when I don't have the capacity, I will give. Mm-hmm. And I'll give that time or that energy or that advice or whatever, even if I don't have the capacity, because I want to be that go-to, you know, or want to be available. But, you know, it gets to a point, especially if you're the main one outpouring, mm-hmm. and they're just taking, that you're going to have to cut it off to a certain extent, or you're going to have to say no a few more times than you say yes, so that you don't feel depleted or feel like relationship is one-sided.
Okay. Yeah. And then just be intentional about when you would reach out, you know, like, okay, right now I have a little bit more in me. Some days I'm like, you know what? I feel like I'd be reaching out to everybody, mm-hmm. and this is not fair. But then other days I'm like, okay, I haven't heard from this person. You know, I have it in me to say something, and maybe they just really need, maybe I need to be that person. You know, they're on my mind for a reason. So let me just reach out for a second. And it may just be that second. And that's what it is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you just have to be intentional about when you do reach out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I got, friends.
Cool. Thanks, friends.
Yes. Yes. Take better care of yourselves, my black women. Ooh, we all we got. We literally are all we got.
The struggle.
Man.
Well, transitioning into taking care of yourself and then being loved by others. Mm-hmm. I wanted to, for the Be Love segment today, I forgot my little song.
I can't remember it either.
Dang, I'm going to have to listen back. It was something real corny, I'm sure.
Many songs.
It was many songs.
It wasn't just one.
It was. It like it, the segment
Be
started.
Loved by.
No,
I don't think that was it.
I thought it was going to be different every
That's
time.
That's a new one. That's a new one. We'll do that one for this time. Be loved by you. Okay, here we go. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about dating while black.
DWB.
Yes.
Ghetto.
Oh.
Oh.
No, for real. It's real ghetto. And so I just, that's exactly what I wanted to talk about, because of course y'all know, like, I'm like newly single again. I'm going to say newly until like it's been a year, because mm-hmm. it hasn't been a year. But like coming back on the scene and not even like fully dating, just like, you know, fake dating.
It's a,
I'm sorry, I have to say this. So I don't know if it's a song, but it's like coming back on the scene with my gangsta lean. Is that a song? It just reminded me of that. Or is it in a movie?
I wish I would have saw the motion.
Yeah.
Back on the scene with my gangsta lean.
Is it
a song? It's
okay, a song. Okay, so it's a song. Cool.
Oh shit.
Oh man. Okay. You getting back on the scene, you know, being newly single, and it's been,
you know, and not a lot has changed, but then a lot has changed at the same time. And so what I have, I don't know. I kind of wanted to talk. I have some questions too, but I just kind of wanted to talk about y'all experiences dating black exclusively. Like, you know, do y'all feel like, first of all, how much was it emphasized when y'all were younger that you needed to like date within your race? And have y'all always dated within your race?
So for me, it wasn't really ever emphasized. It was kind of like it was never emphasized, but it was like an unspoken thing. So the previous episode, mm-hmm. Like I mentioned how like my grandmother, she like dated this white man. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my mother wasn't too fond of that relationship. And so she never said, oh, well, you only need to date black men. Mm-hmm. But I just knew that she wasn't okay with like dating outside of the race, in the sense of like, you know, Caucasian people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I think for me, like I've never dated outside of my race, but I wasn't like, it's one of those things I never really thought about.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know. It was one of those things that, you know, I felt like no one was ever attracted to me or never came to me, mm-hmm. or approached me. So it was like, okay, well, you know, I mean, I like black men, so I'll just stay within that.
Mm.
But I think, you know, due to some recent situations, that narrative has and probably will change for me.
So, oh my gosh. So you're going to be venturing out.
You know, I'm at a point in life where it's whatever feels good and whatever feels right and healthy, I'm open to.
Okay, we're going to come back to that. What okay. about you, Tyra?
I think as much as my family emphasized our blackness, mm-hmm. I don't ever thought I heard like or was ever strayed away or pushed to be strayed away from dating outside of my race. Because mm-hmm. I generally always have. And my mom always has dated black men.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And my dad, I don't know what he be doing. But I do have a side of my family that a few people have interracial dated and, mm-hmm. you know, and nobody's ever really said anything. That's just how it has
yeah.
been.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think it just was always like a, nobody ever talked about dating white men because we don't do that. I mean,
okay.
We just didn't like, and not because of
yeah.
nothing bad. Yeah. We just didn't. Yeah. So.
You know, no one in my immediate family ever did, not to my knowledge. I don't think so. I'm almost certain. But I always did, but it was nothing we ever really talked about. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, even when I was younger, I remember having crushes on little boys who were like mixed. And my parents would know about it. And they wouldn't really say anything. They would just be like, oh, okay, he's cute. Mm-hmm. You know? And so I just thought that it was normal.
Yeah.
Quote, you know, normal or whatever. And so growing up, I mean, I dated white boys. Like, white boys. Like, what?
Like, what?
What? Like, and but they were usually white. Not that they were like appropriating, but they were just a little ghetto though at the mm-hmm. same time, you know. Yeah. They had some little hood tendencies and mm-hmm. they went all straight and narrow. So except for one. He was corny. He was white. Or like Mexicans and Puerto Ricans. And they were usually mixed with black. I had a Filipino who was mixed with black. So I just always dated outside.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't probably till I was older. I was like, I kind of want like a black family.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
But I was open, still open. But I was like, I want to have a black family at the same time. Mm-hmm. But coming back on the scene, I'm like, I dated all these chocolate men. And that's been great. Or talk to. Let me I say dated very loosely.
Yeah, dating can be a loose thing.
It's I'm specifying in case yeah. they're listening. I say dated very loosely. but I'm considering venturing out again because I've just had some issues, and I want to talk about what are some issues y'all have trying to date within y'all's race.
I mean, I've never really dated outside of my race. There was one boy.
To know, like, a difference.
Yeah, there was yeah. one boy when I was in high school. There was two that was white. Mm-hmm. One that I liked. And he was, like, white, but, like, you know, we could connect or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
But I think he was scared to date me because I was black. And I'm like, I ain't gonna bite. I don't know what you want. And mm-hmm. then I just got over that. And then the other one would play, like, I mean, he was white, but he would play, he listened to black music.
He was
cool. Mm-hmm. He was cool. He was playing Pretty Ricky and shit. But He was playing Pretty Ricky on the way to school. I would hear it in the school parking lot. So, yeah, I don't know if I've ever, I don't have anything to compare it to.
Mm-hmm.
I've just always been attracted to black men and just their aura and mm-hmm. just their whole demeanor
yeah.
and all of that. But what I have noticed in comparing to other white couples that I see
mm-hmm.
is an issue of commitment mm-hmm. and wanting to commit.
Mm-hmm.
Where I work with people when everybody is like 22 and 24 and married, and I'll just be confused because that's not my life. And not yeah. that I wanted it to be my life.
Yeah.
But like, why do it gotta take you 7, 8, 9, 10, 13, 2 year, 4 year, you know, right. to figure out you want me to be your girlfriend? Like, I got that type
right.
of time.
And that's to be your girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, and people make a lot of jokes about mm-hmm. delaying commitment. I see that on Twitter a lot. Yeah. Somebody be like, oh, yeah, after 10 years. they married, they finally proposed, and some black dude be like, honestly, in my opinion, I think that's too soon, and
yeah,
you know, it'd be a joke, but like, that is just something that I have noticed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like what Tyra said, like, I can't really compare because I haven't dated outside my race, but I'll just talk about just some common issues that I've had with dating who I've been dating. I would say, well, commitment issues, but then also, you know, I don't think that the mind games are intentional, but not knowing, well, I mean, and they may be, but not knowing what they want and, you know, kind of jumping into something with somebody or being involved in something with somebody and, you know, going to it, not really knowing what you want, and then confusing that person and then just kind of disappearing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't know. It's just,
Cause I don't know what part of it is age and what part of it is, you know, are just culture. And then another thing that I think that is specific to us, because white men can't relate, is I feel like black women have a lack of protection. And I feel like on the opposite end, we're a majority of time taking care of them. And I don't feel that same, in a general whole, that same reciprocation of us being protected
and taken care of.
Right.
That's real.
Echo that. And then on top of that, being someone who, you know, I look at myself as like a strong, independent, like leading woman.
Yeah.
Finding a man who matches me is difficult. Or if I do, then there's some insecurity and competition that comes along with it. And like, me and this guy was having this whole conversation last week, and he's like, oh, I just don't find women that are on the same page as me, and da da da. Or if they're looking for someone that's like that, then they want them to be perfect. Then it's like, oh, well, I don't, she had debt and she had finance issues. And I'm like, but you have debt too, right?
Exactly.
Like, and so it's like, you want them to have all of their ducks in a row and all their shit together to come together with you. And this, and then they're like, oh, well, I probably got to wait another 10 years before I find somebody who's in the same space with me. And I was just like, is this a real conversation right now? And so that's just something that I've seen. Like, there's this whole competition and intimidation thing that comes with trying to find someone who matches you and matches your ambition and shit like that, or it's you don't level up high enough.
Yes, I would have to agree with that. I second that. I think that men, they fall for the idea of a woman, and they don't realize that, okay, well, everybody, we all have our imperfections, and that they want, like, if they are going to get serious or commit to somebody, they want this person to be this perfect, ideal, you know, woman with all these things and all this. But it's like, can you bring to the table what you're asking for her to bring to the table? And then it's like, you know, when it comes to, like, just outside, like, you know, outside features or outside things that they're wanting or looks. But it's like, but you not saying that you're not attractive, but it's like, you have your flaws too.
Right.
So it's like, how can you, I don't understand that people expecting something from somebody that you can't even
provide
bring.
Or give. Yeah.
Like, who are you? Damn it. Like, who are you to want this and that? And you can't do, you know, all these things. That's,
tell them who the fuck are you. Facts. I think sometimes, well, I want to ask y'all, do y'all feel like true black love still exists? And what I mean by that, it's like, I feel like we constantly get these stories of like our parents meeting, or like meeting, I say that very specifically, like our parents meeting and falling for each other, our grandparents meeting and falling for each other and being together all these years through all this shit. Like, and I feel like it kind of put implanted like a certain love story in our minds that I don't know still plays out today, or at least not a lot like it did back in the day. Like, I feel like it's a generational gap that's happening now with what we thought love and relationships would be based on those stories and what we're actually experiencing.
So that makes me think about that whole idea of, like, you know, your grandparents or, you know, their parents getting together and falling in love and all this and all that. But, like, if there's such this big disconnect from before and now, it's like, well, was that really how it really was? Mm-hmm. Or has things just changed completely?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like back then, you know, like, people just worked through the things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they just got through it. And some people didn't get through it, but they just stayed together. Just cause.
True.
So it's just like, you know, is it just that great of a disconnect? Or, you know, are all these situations from the past, or is it real? And is it people just don't want that anymore?
Yeah.
I think that the struggle love narrative is still embedded in us somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, women had to endure all this pain before, and it, you know, the men did all this stuff and they finally realized our worth and
did right.
I think that's still there.
Mm-hmm.
But I know this, our generation is doing things a lot differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I am seeing a lot more stories of Black love just looking different.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do see, like you said, with some of our grandparents and stuff like that, people were together for the kids. People were together for, you know, financial reasons, because some people's grandmothers didn't work. They were homemakers and stuff like that. So they had to stay with grandpa or dad or whatever.
Yeah.
And now that I think that we are seeing, there was like the Black Love documentary that was on OWN. Everybody should watch that. It is great.
It is great.
You have that. You have the even little images of like me and somebody's son on that whole Instagram. And just like how, you know, we are choosing to raise our children different because we are trying to give them what we didn't get.
Yeah.
So I think that it kind of looks different because I think that we are able to be more open exactly about how we feel. And I don't think that our grandparents and our parents were ever given the opportunity and probably didn't express how they felt, you know, towards each other. And I personally think that I see that now.
Yeah, that's very true. I do think we used to hear a lot of, we weren't happy, but we stayed together.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that we're doing that as much now. Like, we like, oh, we ain't happy? You ain't gonna make this shit work? You ain't gonna step up to the plate? Oh, okay, well,
I'm out of here. Yeah.
So I do think that that's changed. But it's just made me think about, like, as I start to build more connections with people, especially, like, the Asian generation we're in, what are some different things that can be considered when you want to be adamant about dating within your race, or, you know, just be adamant about making relationships, like, conscious relationships work, I guess, or dating situations work. So I just had a few things. One, of course, stay open-minded, because I think sometimes when we have, like, our checklist and, you know, what we think a perfect guy looks like or is in our mind, we can kind of get, you know, closed off and boxed off and into what that is, and just kind of opening up and being a little open-minded in what that may not look like. Don't be afraid to venture outside of your comfort zone. Because some guys I'm like, we is ghetto, and I'm just not there. But sometimes they be really nice, you know, and really have their shit together. And sometimes you just gotta, like, really tap in and get to know somebody and not just read them from a distance and from a cover.
Yeah.
To see what it might be like experiencing something different and something new. Try unconventional ways of dating. Y'all, I've been on Facebook dating for like 3 or 4 weeks, and I said I was going to blog about it because I am, because it's a shit show. But, you know, be open to different ways of dating, not even just with apps. Like, I know that we have, like, speed dating in the city, different, you know, like, single mingling events, and just being open just to put yourself out there and try something new and try something different just to meet somebody and just see where it goes, even if it's just to have fun for a while.
Yeah.
And last but not least, manifesting what you want and leaving what's not. because I have realized, like, the last few people that have approached me, I was like, oh, who is he coming at like this? Who I was just talking to y'all about earlier. But I was like, actually, I've been manifesting this shit because I've been asking for this very specifically. And then when it came and was presented to me, I was like, who are you talking to? You know?
Yeah.
And so you have to be very specific in your manifestations, or, yes, you know, be prepared when it gets presented to you because you've asked for it. But also, if it is not what you're asking for, don't entertain it just to be entertained. Like, leave it, move on. It's not worth your time or worth your energy at the same time. So those are just some things to keep in mind dating while black.
It's the trial and error, baby.
Trial and
but
error.
But don't give up, you know. Be mindful.
Because it's some fan black men.
It is some. My God. They.
That thing is juicy.
Beautiful black men, and they come in all shades. Come in all sizes. Be different heights and shit.
They got different hair and shit.
Yes,
going on.
They just beautiful, different vernacular. Mm-hmm. They just eat black.
Like
men.
D Smoke, don't ever let me meet him.
Oh,
in person.
My goodness.
Don't
listen.
Ever listen. Let me meet him. All that listen. Man gotta do is talk to me.
All
you
he
understand?
Has to do is look at me. Okay. I feel like he's looking at me when he's, you know, rapping in his videos.
Yeah.
I love that man. No, his whole, he's such a vibe though.
He's
like
a vibe.
It's just all of it, and he just seems so humble. Did you see his new video when he didn't have a shirt on?
I want to sit down and really be able to take it in. Maybe I'll watch
it. And then when
it,
he starts speaking Spanish, I'm like,
yeah, all
Spanish.
He got to do is speak. I said, what you say?
That's how you should start.
Woo! Who are you? Black? What did you say?
You know, Aisha like that.
Say it again.
That's right up her alley.
Right up my alley, okay? Don't let Michael B. Jordan look at me. Ever. All he has to do is flash that smile at me. Clothes melt off. My clothes are on the floor. They melted off. Melted off.
I felt that way about a lot of people. Luke James, Jadenna, my God.
Oh, Jadenna.
My God.
First of all, not that he was not fan before. This glow up he just had, though.
Jadenna.
This sleeve and these muscles.
He did a number on that one.
Chell, you ain't looked at him lately?
No.
Go fan him. Honey. I sit and watch all his Instagram lives and everything.
And he's so black and African. And I just be come home, daddy.
My eyes are stretched wide.
I'm just trying to be his. I don't even know if I'm Nigerian, but I'll be whatever he wants me to be, his Nigerian queen. I will be his beautiful African queen.
I'm going
to
do my ancestry.com shit and just send it to him.
We could be whatever.
Be like, can we make this work? I'm going to just send it to
him. That is a man. Y'all see y'all boyfriend Drake got both his ears pierced?
What?
No. Drake pierced both his ears. Now I got to, okay.
First of all, you said our boyfriend, and then that kind of threw me off first. And so
it is y'all boyfriend.
Oh, I thought you said our.
No, y'all's. I meant y'all's. Oh, y'all okay. Boyfriend.
Yeah.
I haven't
seen that.
Not mine.
I watched that interview like 3 times. The interview was like 1.5 hours long, and I watched it. What?
No.
You didn't watch this interview that from the beginning of the year?
No.
Jenny.
I think I've seen like clips of it, but no, I haven't watched it.
What the hell
have
you been? You just sit and watch it for an hour and talking like. No. He's talking about the type of woman he wants.
Ooh, okay, let me have on that.
Oh, the baby. I like his whole.
Listen,
that's what I mean.
Okay.
His whole swag is. I let you talk about Michael B. Jordan. The B stands for boring. I let you talk about him.
What is that?
I let you have your moment.
I feel attacked.
The baby is a beautiful man. No.
I'm attacked.
The baby is just a beautiful man. Like his whole persona. Mm-hmm. That's really what it is.
That's
his mouth and the things that come out of it. Just
right.
He's a very beautiful person. Mm-hmm. Like you ain't gotta like his look. That's what I mean. I just like black men.
His
they
confidence
swag.
And his swag.
That's
is
what
like
I mean. Black men. Yeah. I love y'all.
Love y'all.
So this is a great segue into the BU segment.
Get us there.
Uh-huh.
Get us
confidence.
There.
Yes.
Oh my God. Wait. What? When did he do that?
Sorry, y'all. I'm catching her up on Jadenna real quick because. Apparently, Jenny been under a rock. Where'd she be at? She didn't know the box was out. She didn't know Jadenna was fine.
Oh, I knew he was fine. I didn't know he got finer.
Oh, he got finer. Hold on. Hold on, sis.
Oh, yeah. He got finer.
Like
he's a
magical man.
Masterpiece.
Magical.
Just take me.
He just rains magic.
Wherever you want.
This tattoo took me out, like...
The whole tribal?
Yes.
Yes.
I need the whole thing. Yes, okay, ma'am. Sorry, y'all.
Okay.
But we love black men, so black men who are listening, now y'all know.
We love y'all.
In case
y'all,
ever wondered.
Y'all just be acting up sometimes.
Y'all just be acting up, but we love y'all. We still
we
here.
We love y'all.
We still here.
We still here.
So, building confidence as a black woman. I feel like just confident. Okay, look. You
okay, sorry.
Stop. You
sorry. Wait, I just showed them Drake's earrings because you know they love.
You go, like, I just listen and I jerk.
Jenny, we have to go find him this year. Jenny.
Like,
we have to look at
like,
him.
Like, I want to be somewhere on a stage with him.
We can be lame together. Like, because he's corny. Like, we can be corny
together.
Can
I lay
together
with y'all? Look, can I lay with y'all?
Can I lay with y'all?
No.
That man is fine.
Okay.
Okay, I ain't going to interrupt you no more. Third time's a charm, Jenny. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
Being confident.
Confident.
Tell us.
Okay, so I feel like the term confidence or just like what building confidence look like, I feel like it's easier said than done. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like that term is just kind of talked about in a like simple form, like, oh, well, just be more confident. Mm-hmm. But it's like,
but what does that mean?
Right, what does that mean? And like, what does that look like for you? And I feel like as a black woman, it's so, I feel like over the years it's just been so difficult to do so because we have so many things like against us, and we're you know, the minority of the group, and then, you know, when you talk about racism and sexism, there's like so many things against us, so it's like we're constantly trying to dig ourselves, you know, out of a whole. And so it's like, you know, what are some things that you've experienced in your life that you feel like women outside of our race may not have experienced to kind of interfere or like to not to make, I guess, to make you like feel kind of less confident about yourself
with our hair specifically?
No.
Oh,
like what are some things that you've experienced in your life that you feel like you have experienced that other races, like outside of the black community, may not have experienced to make you feel less confident about yourself over the years or just whenever?
I think something, even when I was skinny, I thought I was fat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, we talk about that. Like, we look back and like, oh, bitch, you was skinny. Like, what you talking about? But I've always had, like, thicker thighs. Like, I've always just still been meaty in my thighs, which I love now. But, like, when I was growing up, my mom, like, would be real weird about me wearing skirts and stuff like that. And when I worked at, like, certain internships, and this was, like, when I was in high school, worked at certain internships, and one of my supervisors pulled me aside. I was like, you can't wear like dresses and skirts like that. And like, they weren't short or anything. They weren't tight, but my form showed because I had hips and thighs. And she's like, I heard like the male workers talking about you. Like, you can't wear stuff like that because it brings bad attention to you. And so like, it made me self-conscious very young as to, okay, well, this is literally what I look like. So then how am I supposed to dress? Whereas a white girl could come in wearing the exact same thing and not have to deal with that type of criticism, or talks about being inappropriate, even if they were on the thicker side. I never really heard that. And so, like, I hear about it now, about it being, oh, you saw her skirt was a little short. But never to the point, if it was a black girl wearing that same skirt, like, everybody would be talking about it and have something to say, and she might be pulled aside type of thing.
Right.
And so that definitely made me, like, less confident to really express myself through clothing or dress like I want to dress, because people always had something to say about my shape, which I felt like my shape was just a black woman's shape, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that just society's standards of beauty and then us, you know, obviously we don't fit society's standards of beauty and we're not supposed to, but prior to social media and all of that, you know, that is what we had to go through. So all of the things that we had to do and just to try to fit those standards, like processing our hair and perms and how much money we spend to look appropriate, you know, because of society. And I feel like other women
to
just
look groomed.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. We have to go through so much to look groomed, and we're reminded, even if it's very simple microaggressions about how we don't look as groomed, like Aisha said, but it's just a constant battle of how much more we have to prep to look that part, or we previously did. And I think other women probably didn't have to, you know, go through all those steps that we have to go through to look like ourselves. Just think about how much, you know, we have had to spend on beauty products alone. Foundation. How many trial and errors, you know, you tried? How much money products I've wasted trying to match my foundation or make, you know, prior to, you know,
having more colors.
And all that range. But I mean, prior to all of that, even women of other races, like, you know, Asian women or whatever, they still have that fair skin. The undertone may be different, but we just didn't legitimately have our color at all. So,
I don't know, for me, I mean, kind of along the lines of what you had mentioned, Aisha, I feel like the biggest thing that has kind of made me feel less confident is like my body and image and like how I feel about myself because of like, well, one, just growing up, and I think kind of like, you know, my like at home being instilled in me that, oh, well, you're showing too much, like you can't wear that because men are gonna look at you, you can't, you know, do this and do that. And so, you know, as I grew up, like I didn't like one, showing certain parts of my body, but then also just being the center of attention. Like I was always told that, you know, like you shouldn't, you know, be the center of attention. Well, not in that, like,
not in that way,
right, in that way, but you know, that you need to like be quiet and be silent. And so I think that for so long, I felt like, okay, well, I don't know how to operate outside of not being visible. And so I kind of became invisible. And I feel like a lot of people experience it. I mean, depending on like how you grew up, but also just like, like just what society, the pressure that society puts on you for you to look a certain way, for you to, you know, dress and be a certain way. And then also just like outside of races, but sometimes even within our own like race, like what the ideal like beautiful woman looks like. And if you're not that, then, you know, like you aren't considered beautiful or you aren't considered bad or whatever, you know, people want to call it. And it's like, you know, how do you go through all that, but then also be able to be confident in where you're at and like own, you know, your own style and what it is that you want to look like without feeling like, okay, well, I'm less than in that, you know, I'm not gonna get the attention that I want because I don't look like what everybody else looks like. So what are some ways that you think that women just over the years, well, not over the years, what are some ways that you feel like you've gained your confidence, and like, was it something that you did intentionally, or like, do you feel like it just gradually happened over time?
I think I've always been myself, whatever that version of me is at that time in my life. And I definitely remember being slightly uncomfortable with being myself. I mean, I didn't really know any other way to be. But I knew that trying to conform to other people made me even more uncomfortable. So I had to accept that everybody is not going to accept me in the things that I do and how I style myself. But I just had to step out of my box and just own it, you know, especially now that I am older. I have always been like a very Afrocentric person. So imagine me as a kid. I kind of was like the same way. And I'm sure people talked about the way I dressed and everything, but I just was like, I don't know any other way but to be myself.
Yeah.
Because trying to be like other people, you know, didn't work. But thankfully, the group of friends that I had and where how I grew up, it was pretty much okay for me to be myself. And I just think with my personality, that made it just be, oh, that's just who she is. Especially because my group of friends were all so different.
Yeah.
That it just like that. Oh, that's just who they are as people. So I think that's what it was. And then growing up pretty much with the same group of friends from elementary, middle school, high school made it a lot easier too for me to just be myself, because we were all just, you know, being ourselves. But I feel like I've always been this way. It wasn't until, of course, now, like I said, when I got about 27, 28, that I'm like, okay, this is like really who I am. I mean, I'm still figuring it out, but like I'm way more comfortable just being my free self.
Yeah, I was pretty much gonna say the same thing. I mean, I know I had like a post-divorce blow up a little bit, and it really had nothing to do with my divorce. It was just more so like, oh, like I really taken the time to care for myself and explore myself and show who I was like internally. And so I lost weight. I was taking care of myself. I was figuring out my hair and how I like it and figuring out my style and owning it a little better. And, you know, just different things like that, that just, and as you put that out and get good response back with just truly being who you are and not trying to piece other people together and seeing if it works or if you like it. That just helped me be more confident in who I am because people were seeing me for that.
So one thing that I do like about, you know, being Black is the fact that there's so many different layers and there's so many different ways that you can look. But at the same time, I think it's a little bit, it's a little bit, it can be a little bit overwhelming, because it's like, especially like if you weren't, you know, not necessarily taught, but exposed to, you know, how to kind of think about what it is, how you want to look, or being able to be creative or express how you want to, you know, present yourself to the world. You can kind of be, or at least from my personal experiences, kind of in the space of not necessarily trying to be like somebody else, but not knowing how I want to be. And then just not really showing who I am at all. So kind of just feeling like this blank slate of, well, I don't really know how I want to be, you know. I'm not trying to be like somebody else, but figuring out how I can, you know, become who I want to become. And then I feel like a theme that kind of what we've just been talking about is like, you know, you build confidence when you are just who you are, and taking that time to like pour back into yourself. And I think that as I've gotten older and over the past few years, that's something that I've thought about, or that's something that I've been able to do more of, is to like own who I want to be. Because I've always kind of, in specifically when it comes to like dating people, because I've always dated people, and I feel like based on who I was dating, I was kind of trying to like not necessarily dress or look, but kind of appease this person. And so, you know, whenever I would move from situation, relationship, like how I wore my hair or how I dressed or how I moved, it was because I thought that this person would like it. And I never really took time to like think about, well, what do I like, you know, is this what I like, you know, is this what I want to look like? And so I think part of building your confidence is taking time to figure out, you know, what do you want to be like, you know, what do you want to look like? And then also just like taking time to make a list of everything that you are and that you aren't, because it's like, you don't really know, you know, who you are until you figure out what it is that you feel like you're good at and the mm-hmm. things that you feel like you don't do well at. And then also a thing that I mentioned that I struggle with is like finding my voice. And so I feel like once you find your voice, you'll be more confident to feel like you are where you're supposed to be, or like being at those certain tables that you feel like you probably weren't previously accepted at. And then also, just understanding your culture, which, you know, being a Black person, but then also think about the people that like came before you. Because I feel like with me, I mentioned in a previous like episode, like, you know, I didn't grow up learning about, mm-hmm. you know, Black people, or I didn't the Black culture and history and stuff like that, besides like what I learned in schools. Mm-hmm. And so like we were talking about you know, like the different things that are happening with the Black girl magic and stuff like that, and it's like I had no idea that, you know, I can be this type of woman, or that mm-hmm. women like that existed. And so yeah. knowing that can be possible for you, and figuring out like those steps that you would need to take in order for you to get there.
Yeah.
So yeah. Were you going to say something? Okay. Well, that's all I have for you.
That's good. Snap, snap.
Thanks, Yanny.
Snap, snap. You going to wrap us up with our she-spiration?
Yes, I will.
moving right along.
So the she-spiration for this week is, leveling up requires you to let go of everything that isn't aligned with where you want to go.
Facts. You know, I be listening, then my brain gotta process it.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, and I'll be like, yeah.
Leveling up.
Level up.
We gotta dance to that dance cardio.
I bet you do.
I've been getting it.
I bet you have.
I just want y'all to come one day. Jenny came. I want y'all to come.
I'll come.
Listen, I've been doing Zumba, and we've been getting some moves in, so I
really
probably
better.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, oh,
look
yeah.
at you. I know.
Go ahead.
It's some Zumba through our work.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, hopefully y'all enjoyed this episode, yes. friends. Hopefully you enjoyed hearing from Joy.
Joy, yeah.
And enjoyed figuring out how to take better care of yourself.
Yep.
How to find your confidence. Yep. And how to date while being Black.
Mm-hmm. Keep following our campaign.
Yes.
On all our platforms. At Strength of She on IG, The Strength of She LLC on Facebook,
strengthofshe.com.
Yeah.
And as always, join our conversation by following us and tagging us at shenanigans_pod.
As always, bye.
Bye.